Have you heard of the term defense mechanism? What is defense mechanism? Have you heard about the term coping mechanism? What is the difference between defense mechanism and coping mechanism? Now, for simple, can you give me that slide, Louis? Accordingly, defense mechanism is the lower part. Refers to the unconscious avoidance of something that produces anxiety or unpleasant emotion. That's from dictionary.com. It's like for a health issue, let me ask you, if you have this defense mechanism, you do not need to speak. But in your mind, if I would ask you, and I would ask you to raise your hand, don't raise your hand. But in your mind, just think of it. If I would ask you in this question, do you respond? This is the question. Do you have any hypertension or high blood? Now, are you willing to let others know that you have a high blood? And some people may, that's between me and me, something like that. You have, you are in the defense mechanism stage. You are denying that you have health issues, something like that. Coping mechanism is conscious or even unconscious choice that enhance control over behavior or give psychological comfort over stress or negative feelings. It's like for job stress, maybe you need to, why do you work so less hours? You do not need to explain that you are experiencing job stress, but you know that it helps you relieve from job stress. Or why are you taking vacation or sick call and you are not sick because of the job stress? You may not say it clearly. I have problem too with my problem with what do you call that, custom or immigration thing at the airport. I don't like waiting for many hours at the airport. So my coping mechanism is that I don't plan flying or going to the airport or passing by the airport, something like that, because I don't like that waiting for 3 hours there doing nothing. It's like, I can do more productive things, but the idea is if it's like going to the grocery after you paid in, and you can go home, something like that, that would be better. I would love flying, or I would love traveling, passing by the airport, but I don't like that idea. That's my coping mechanism. Or some people, their coping mechanism is like, they are scared of having, that they may cause accident in the street, and they don't want to drive. I have a driver, they don't want to drive, because of theirs, they don't want that negative feeling of seeing accidents in the street, those kinds. But so in simple term, defense mechanism is the basic coping mechanism, while coping mechanism is the mature coping, the mature part. So if you are denying something, but not doing anything to help you solve that negative feeling, that is defense mechanism. But if you are doing something like you have problem with health issues, mental issues, or intellectual issues, or relational issues, like for example, a relationship, kumusta na yung girlfriend mo? Okay naman. And yung girlfriend mo pala ay hindi na nag nagre-respond sa iyo ng text, say sumasagot ka lang ng okay naman, and you are not doing something for your girlfriend or boyfriend to see what you can do, kind of like. Now, there is this story. This is a true story. And observe where coping mechanism or defense mechanism has been applied. There's a this faithful believer. A faithful believer, but in everything you can see how faithful he is. He served in the church. He also always present during activities. He is involved. And you can observe how his life is. Even at work, you cannot say anything against him. But despite of his faithfulness to the Lord, not everyone appreciated him. And that is true. Kahit gaano ka kabait, kahit gaano ka sipag, people would not like you. Maybe because you are taller than them, or maybe you are more intelligent than them, or fair looking than them, or whatever is the reason they don't like you, there are still people that would not like you, like us, right? So, and these malicious individuals, they influence others and spread unwarranted gossip. And this drama surrounding his life was heard by a concerned minister outside the church. And that minister wanted to know how this faithful believer had coped with that drama in his life. So he asked the faithful believer, "Do you have any support groups?" Yes, many times people would ask if you are having some kind of emotional breakdown or something, they would suggest that you have to have a support group. Do you have a support group that you may voice out your concern? What's your coping mechanism secret? That was the question the minister asked this faithful believer. And the faithful believer tried to understand, but he said, no coping mechanism secret. And he said, "I don't even feel bad about those dramas I've gone through." But later on, he was reminded that some believers are praying for him regularly, and that he was thankful of the Lord's faithfulness. I don't know if that individual was just denying. It could be if he was denying that he was not affected by the drama, then he has this defense mechanism. But when he recognizes that other believers are praying for him, that could be the secret of his coping mechanism. In this life, there are serious concerns, problems, troubles that may challenge our faith in the Lord. We can have personal problem with family, or problem at work, or even problem in the church. What coping mechanism you've got when personal, family, church concern attack? How do you approach that? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 19:29, let's read this together. "And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Now, did the Lord command somebody to leave their houses, their brothers, their sisters, their fathers? "Leave your family and follow me." Did the Lord Jesus say that in the Bible? I guess to Abraham, he said, "Leave your country, your household, and go to the land I will show you." But in the New Testament, there's no direct order like that. But in this passage, the Lord implies that if we prioritize Him more than anybody, our loved ones, our relatives, or even our career. He will supply our needs more than what we can have on our own effort. That is what He said. Receive 100 times, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. What's our priority? What is your priority? Do you prioritize the Lord, or do you prioritize yourself? Now, let's read verse 21 to 24 together. Let's read. So the son of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provision for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away as they were leaving. He said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." Now, we can observe here that Pharaoh trusted Joseph so much. He liked everything about Joseph, including the family of Joseph, so that he instructed, "Bring your family from Canaan to come and live in Egypt. Bring them. Don't bother about their belongings, just bring them here." Because he knew that there is severe famine in the entire world at the time. People were coming to Egypt to buy grain for food. So Pharaoh knew that the family of Joseph were also starving in Canaan. And it may take a few weeks to prepare for their journey, and Joseph supplied for their needs. As Pharaoh told him, Joseph provided cart for his father, their children, their wives, and of course their household belongings. And that would be a very slow journey because they needed to bring with them their sheep, their cattle, or goats, and everything that they own. And sheep do not run if they are in a flock. If they would run, it would be chaos. So they just slow down and maybe take time to graze from time to time. So it may have taken them a week or two traveling from Canaan to Egypt. When Joseph gave his brother Benjamin more than what he gave to his other siblings. Now observe that he gave his other sibling new sets of clothes each. But to Benjamin, he gave 5 sets of clothes. Now, why was that? Can you agree that this is a picture of the Lord providing more to those He favored? Joseph sent to his father the best gift, provision available in Egypt, and he reminded his brothers, "Don't quarrel on your way." Why did he warn them not to quarrel? Well, previously, Joseph said, "You were spies." And then he interrogated them. And then when he interrogated them, Joseph was using interpreters, so he was not speaking in Hebrew. He was speaking in Egyptian language. So the brothers may think that he cannot understand them. So he may have observed, ikaw kasi sabi mo ibibinta natin yan tuloy nalaman na. Kumbaga, they are blaming each other for their troubles. We should have not have this trouble if we did not harm or were harsh to Joseph. They might have been and. Indirectly, Joseph may have reminded them also that he was the ruler of Egypt. Listen to what I say. He might have been implying that too. The provision on their journey that Joseph supplied as proof of good life in Egypt, waiting for their starving family in Canaan, that good life in Egypt, waiting for his family to experience in Egypt, this represents this practical in practicality that the Lord will supply our needs when we bring good news of eternal life to our loved ones, especially those who haven't heard the gospel of Christ just yet. What are those supplies? Maybe it's not only the provision, it's not only the food. How are you to testify about God's goodness? Maybe your words, the words you would say, your reaction if they do not respond positively, or practical things, if they needed help in material things, God would supply all those things. We have a mandate to witness for the eternal life that Christ has given us. Do you have eternal life? Have you received eternal life? If you say that you have eternal life, then you are mandated, we are mandated to witness, to testify that we have received eternal life from the Lord. You've got to testify about what? That there is this transformation in our life when we receive eternal life. There is a little or more transformation that Christ has done in our life. After the Lord healed a demon-possessed man, he instructed him to go home. Go home, tell your people what the Lord did to you. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, it says, let's read this together. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Decapolis is 10, Deca is 10, polis is city, 10 cities somewhere east of Galilee, in that area. And if we have practical experience with the Lord, can you identify one that you have experienced that the Lord has done in your life? If you know that the Lord has done something great in your life, there should be overflowing gladness in our hearts so that we cannot help but to inform others, inform relatives, inform friends about it. Your experience in Canada, for example, what experience do you have in Canada that you want to tell back in the Philippines? Now, if you were living in Manila, now come to Canada, there's no traffic whatsoever. There's traffic sometimes, but it's not like in the Philippines, right? You want to tell that. And there's not much smog or, what is that? Pollution here. Why? Because it's windy pig, you know? You know windy pig, the wind is so strong and it just blow the pollution away. Actually, I haven't experienced that yet. Pollution, if there is. But anyway, here's a true story. A few years ago, there's this family of immigrants. This family of immigrants were guaranteed by a friend, not a relative, a friend. And they live in the house of the friend. And a friend go to church, they are Christians, and they invited the immigrants in their home to come to church. And from there, they were able to testify that the Lord blessed them so much, and the church were so good to the immigrants, they were able to share the gospel to them, and they were baptized and attended the church, continued to attend the church. Now, bringing into your home potential believers is a strategic way to witness for Christ. You may have one. You may want to guarantee your friends back in the Philippines to come to Canada and bring them to the Maples Evangelical Church. You can do that. But this strategy may not be applied to everyone. It's not for everybody. It's a good idea, but it's not for everybody. Why? Of course, there are some great stories to tell about how they become Christians when they came to Canada and stay in the house of a Christian family, but others have unpleasant experiences when they live with their relatives or friends. You heard that? Nag-away, dati malapit magkaibigan, tapos pagdating dito, nag-away na. I don't know, but I heard many stories about those. And perhaps the reason I was thinking about that too, the reason that my siblings hesitate to come to Canada is that the Lord did not want me to quarrel with them here in Canada. Yeah, we can quarrel. They can quarrel me online, we cannot have physical altercation or whatsoever. But in here, that's a different story, right? So, what is this? Ask the Lord first how He may want you to witness effectively. If hosting or guaranteeing somebody or letting him stay in your house so that you can witness to that, perhaps, maybe, God would give you that joy of doing it, that peace. If the Lord says this is the right strategy for you to witness to your friends, to your nephews, to your niece, to your relatives, to your uncle, aunties, or even lolos and lolas. By faith, we believe in Christ. By faith, He transformed us from old lifestyle to new lifestyle acceptable to Him. And He also would supply everything we need to live a godly life. Our personal experience with Him, this exhibits His existence, His love for us in practical way, for us to have this practical proof when we witness for Christ. Just like the demon-possessed man that was healed, after he was healed, he dressed up. Formerly, he doesn't want to dress up, he just stay naked and live in the cemeteries. But when the Lord healed him, he wanted to dress up and he wanted to join the crowd. But the Lord said, go home. Tell your people what the Lord has done in your life. What is it that the Lord has done in your life? As practical proof that Christ is in your life. The brothers of Joseph experienced abundant food supply in Egypt when they returned to Canaan. They told what they saw, what they experienced. And they saw and experienced personally the power of Joseph as ruler of Egypt, how Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, listened to Joseph. And when they told about their experience, Jacob cannot believe it. He was stunned, he was shocked. Let's read verse 25 and 26. So they went up out of Egypt, and they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's the ruler of all Egypt. And Jesus was stunned. He did not believe him. He was shocked. Just imagine. Imagine yourself, you were Jacob. Now you have favorite son. Your favorite son disappeared. So what do you feel? You feel so sad. You don't want to live any longer. But many years later, 20 years later, your other son went to buy food in Egypt and returned to report that your long-lost favorite son became the ruler of Egypt. How do you react? The time it, the famine was so severe. What does that mean? Famine was so severe. They still have food a little, but maybe they just rationed it. No, I remember that time when there was no food in the Philippines, not so much food. When they mix corn and rice, do you know that? Have you heard about that? If you were born in before 1970, you experienced that. But if you were born after 1980, you do not know about that. I remember my mother would cook a bowl of rice in a big pot, put much water, and that we eat that. There were eight enough in the family who would eat that. Lugaw. And we enjoy it. What we did was we have so much fun. We don't use spoon as we want to. We are starving. You want to eat immediately, and if you use spoon, it's mainit, right? So we use the leaves of coconut leaves. Use the coconut leaves and use it as spoon. It's like a picnic or something. It's just kind of playing, but it's some kind of defense mechanism or coping mechanism. I don't know how you would say that, but that's the life, the time. And the time is something like that. The famine, it's not for just 1 year. It's the second year already when the severe famine, when Jacob sent his sons to go and buy grain in Egypt. Well, Jacob and his household, even his flock, the sheep, the cattle were also dying because they have no grass to eat. And here there was abundant food in Egypt, and he sent his son to buy grain. And when they returned home, they reported the ruler of Egypt is so harsh. They accused us as spies. And they told him, and Simeon is imprisoned, and they require us to bring Benjamin back to Egypt so that we can prove that we are not spies. And Jacob was still mourning for his lost son, favorite son Joseph. Simeon was in prison, and to bring Benjamin to Egypt, he was not very sure if Benjamin would return home. And then heard that harsh ruler in Egypt was actually your long lost son Joseph, your favorite son. Can you imagine how shocked, how stunned, greatly surprised Jacob was? His reaction can be defined. Unbelievable, unimaginable situation. The ruler who managed the storehouses of food supply in Egypt was Joseph. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? No. Your favorite son was Joseph. You reported he was killed by wild animals. Well, actually, the very person who can save us from starvation, Father, in this severe famine, really? Can you really believe such news? Can you believe it if you were Jacob? The reaction of Jacob when he heard the report about Joseph illustrates that how people would react when they hear the good news of eternal life is free. Gift of life is free. Indescribable. Uncontainable, you may say. You may sing. Have you ever had such reaction when you were assured of eternal life? When the person who would say, who shared the gospel with you, and when you prayed sincerely, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior of my life. Come into my heart and be the Lord, Savior of my life. Please forgive me of my sins and give me that assurance that I have eternal life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have prayed that very sincerely, and then the person next to you who shared the gospel
The Lord has forgiven you.
What?
Yes. One day you will enter heaven.
What?
Yes. Do you have that reaction? Have you had that reaction of surprise? Or you have no reaction whatsoever? Do you have any kind of amazing reaction when you are assured of eternal life? Just search your hearts. Think about that if you were excited to have that assurance. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, let's read this together. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Lord has assured you of eternal life, and now each of you have become holy. You are declared holy in the eyes of the Lord. How is that? Can you believe that? Can you accept that? You are assured of entering heaven. Therefore, you are perfect in the sight of the Lord when you enter heaven. Can you accept that reality? You have that stunned, shocking reaction. Yet, you just believe you've got eternal life. That's it. As easy as it appears to be, it is not really simple to believe because it takes faith to believe. It takes faith to believe. Do you have faith? Have you received faith? Well, this faith as agent to make anyone believe in Christ comes from God. Faith does not come from human. It does not come from us. That is why not everyone who hears the gospel can believe. Only those who have received faith from God. So how do you believe in Christ, in God? Ask for faith, strengthen that he may strengthen your faith, increase your faith. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So look at that. You believe and then do good works. It's not good, do good works and then you believe. No. Some people would say, magpapakabait muna ako bago ako pupunta ng church. No, you cannot do that. That's not, that is something like pabaligtad. No, it's not. We do good works because we have faith. That should be. So if you will think that you are good enough to come to church, oh, you are in the wrong idea. It should be, I am so bad that I needed God. And then you believe, and that's it when you do good works. We are saved through faith, and faith is God's gift. Why is that? Human, we acknowledge that we are not perfect. Is there somebody who is perfect here? Nobody. Nobody. Who is a perfect human? Only the Lord Jesus. Imperfection cannot offer perfect faith in God, right? Imperfect cannot produce perfect faith in God, right? Anything that originates from human sinfulness, sinful human, is infected with sinfulness. Anything we do that comes from us, originally comes from us, is polluted, infected, with sinfulness, affected with sinfulness. And faith is gift of God. Why is it a gift? Because God is fair. He wants everyone to have opportunity to be saved. Now, some of you may have privileged to have a
live in a good environment. Your father, mother may have been Christians, believers, and your friends, relatives are also believers. So we say that you are in a very good environment. But another was born in Tondo, Manila, you know, Tondo, or something in North End, where there's a lot of influential elements, bad elements out there that you observe and see. Oh, your friend playing computer all day long and you want to play computer all day long. Or your friend is just spend time fishing and you want to spend time fishing all day long. Or your friends go shopping in it even when they don't have money. They just use credit card and you want also to show your friend that you want to buy even if you cannot pay your credit card. Kind like. But with the gift of faith, that individual who was surrounded with Christians and another individual who is surrounded with bad elements, both will have fair opportunity to believe in the Lord, to be saved, because faith is a gift from God. Interestingly, it is easy for anyone to claim, I have faith. They would say, I have faith. I believe in Christ. I believe. And how do they show that they believe in Christ? They try to imitate what others do. They wear nice clothes. They smile when they meet people. They would do things that others are doing. They participated in the ministry just to prove they have faith. Just to prove they have faith. Oh, I will do this because my parents are Christians and I don't want my parents to be seen as bad parents. Oh, I need to do this because my friends are Christians and I don't want to be seen as bad friend. So, does God accept those things? It says here, verse 10, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared. Good work which God prepared. Good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared that good works. It is not us who prepared that good works. God has prepared a particular good work for us to do as proof that we have faith, so that there is no pretension, there is no deception of oneself. We do not need to deceive ourselves. We do not need to deceive others. We just need to know which good work God has prepared for us. So how do we know when good work was prepared for us by the Lord? How do we know that He has prepared this good work for us to do? And how do we know when a good work is not acceptable to God? How do we know that? The result, the effect. Now, have you heard about ministry burnout? You heard that, right? You hear that about burnout. What caused ministry burnout? Now, you heard about pastors who quit ministry and testify they are not Christians any longer. They are no longer Christians. And you have heard about former church leaders, and they don't want ministry involvement anymore and satisfied being church attendees. Why? Perhaps the culprit could be burnout. They were overwhelmed by ministry demands and challenges, so they quit. How can we solve that? Need to pray. It might be God's way of telling you, I did not call you to be in that ministry. So search for that ministry where you can have that joy, gladness of serving Him. Did not say, stop, quit. No, it's not. Wait, one may point out, Pastor, did the Holy Spirit
the Holy Spirit does not produce burnout as fruit, right?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as fruit of the Spirit as burnout. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that, there's no burnout out there. Actually, it's the opposite of burnout. Burnout is real among Christians. It's real.
When you start blaming others because of failure or something negative situation, that may be a symptom of burnout. I don't know, but accordingly they say burnout is real among us when human effort is the primary factor when ministering, when serving the Lord. Our world admires human effort. Our world admires education. Wow, he has a masteral. Wow, he graduated in the university. Wow, he has a doctorate. And the world admires training. Oh, he was trained in New York. He has trained in LA. He has trained in Hong Kong or wherever the training is. Oh, experience. Wow, he is what is his experience? I don't know. Skills, talents. We admire those things. To accomplish what we wish to accomplish, we need those things. Human effort is essential element of successful career. But human effort won't assure success in the kingdom of God. Why? Christ said, this is what he said, the last word that he said before he went to heaven. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, let's read this together. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, do not interchange that. And you will be my witnesses, and I will give you power. No, it's not. This is why when pastors or preachers would say, go and witness to your brothers, you hesitate. Why? Because witnessing is God's command. Any command, it needs godly effort. But before we can obey Him, we need the power, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God's business, remember this, God's business requires power from the Lord, from His Spirit. Remember that. The Lord has prepared which ministry He wants us to be involved with. We are not the ones who would say, declare, this is it, unless the Lord has told you that it is. Actually, many times, the ministry that you hesitate or do not want to participate in, perhaps is the ministry God has called you to participate. Why? Because you cannot depend upon your human effort, your training, your experiences. Instead, you depend upon the Lord. Perhaps when I'm sorry for this, but let me use this as illustration. When we ask Sister Heather to prepare the flowers, she hesitated at first. Why? Well, Tina had been preparing flowers and it was so good, and I don't have the talent, she may have said. And I heard that she hesitated, but she needed to do it because it was the ministry she was offered during the doon po sa Board of Trustees, the kung ano yung ministry na assign ka, yeah, you need to do that. And wala nang nahuli siya kasi siya yung last to enter Board of Trustees, so siya yung huli na pumili ng kanyang ministry. Parang ganun yun. But anyway, look at that. She's been enjoying preparing flowers, and we enjoy it. Some of you may not observe that, but she struggled at first. I say that it's God's working in her life. Similarly, you young people, you do not like doing household chores. But the thing that
you do not like, it might be you discover the joy of doing household chores. You might be better dishwasher than your parents because you do not want mayroong I saw spoons out there na hindi masyadong nahugasan. I say na may mga naghuhugas doon na napipilitan lang maghugas. Meron pang mga kanin na nakadikit sa kutsara. Ganon. That's evidence that a person is not very conscious of what the person is doing. Right? Now, God's business requires power from His Spirit, and the Lord has prepared a ministry He wants us to be involved with. And our attitude, behavior, and experience in the ministry exhibits if Christ is at work in us. So when you are seen there, you are the ones complaining in that work that you assigned to, well, take a pause. It might be you are in the wrong ministry. And change ministry. We serve the Lord with gladness because His Spirit produces fruit in us, and we've got joy to serve. And Nehemiah said this long ago. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Let's read. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We continue to serve Him because of that joy in our heart. It's not because trying to prove something. It's because of that joy. You do not want to let that joy get away from your heart. You want to experience that joy, so you want to keep on. So seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to have that joy. Nehemiah led the Israelites in rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. If you know this story, doing God's business needs strength. Lord, how can we build this wall of Jerusalem? There are enemies there. There are oppositions who try to discourage and demoralize us. What they did, on one hand, they hold their spear. On the other hand, they carry what they can carry. Because there are oppositions, there are enemies watching them. If they are relaxed, they would attack. So carrying your spear and carrying stone so that you can build the house. That, you know what? They completed the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. Building the wall of Jerusalem was not impossible with God. There are impossible things with humans, but with God, nothing is impossible. Anyway, when the sons of Jacob told that Joseph instructed them to bring all their families to Egypt, Jacob may have found it impossible that Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. How could that be? But he saw the cards that Joseph sent to carry him to Egypt. He was satisfied. He was convinced. Let's read again verse 27 and 28. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when they saw the cards Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived, and Israel said, I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, you may observe that they're switching between names of Jacob and Israel until the last chapter of Genesis chapter 50. And some interpreters suggest it as a transition from his name Jacob to Israel. And to many times it says in verse 21, it says actually sons of Israel. It did not say sons of Jacob. And the descendants of Jacobs were called Israelites and not Jacobites. They are not called Jacobites. They are Israelites. So the Bible scholar interpret the name of Jacob to be used as to signal his humanity, the human side of Jacob. And when the name Israel is used, it signals his spirituality when he practiced faith in God. Anyway, Jacob's son said that Joseph sent card to carry him, and he also sent, these are gifts from your son Joseph, and these are the food supply for our journey. Were the cards, the gift, and the provision enough to convince Jacob that Joseph sent them for him? Now, did his son report that Joseph told them that he interpreted that he was forced against his will to be in Egypt as God's strategy to save life? I don't know. But Joseph also instructed his brothers to tell Jacob all the honors accorded to him in Egypt. Tell all the things that I've been doing here, how Pharaoh gave him the power to be the ruler of Egypt, and the cards that Joseph sent to carry him to Egypt. These have been commanded by Pharaoh. We have the permission of Pharaoh to bring this card. And Jacob was satisfied. He was convinced because he knew Joseph has the heart to forgive his cruel brothers. He knew that. Jacob knew that Joseph has truly cared for him. He knew that. He had concern about his health, his well-being. He knew that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son because he observed how Joseph took care of him lovingly. How did Joseph took care of him lovingly? Now, interpreters suggest that Joseph cared and respected Jacob, and that made him the favorite son of Jacob. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, let's read this together. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, this is common among siblings, and it may have happened to you. Older siblings, when they are mischievous, when they are naughty, they do something, and younger children would, younger brother, younger sister would see what they were doing. Gamayin nga, huwag mo sasabihin sa daddy, huwag mo sasabihin sa mami. Hindi, makukurot kasi singit. I don't know. Diba? It intimidate the younger siblings. And you will hear those stories later in their life when younger siblings are can defend themselves, and those younger siblings scared of reports, malicious mischief for fear of retaliation, those incidents, it's not strange with Joseph and his brothers. Perhaps his brothers sold sheep for personal leisure. Hindi naman alam ni tatay, hindi tayo umuwi, hindi naman na binibilang yung ating sheep. So let's sell some of this and have nightlife there in Dothan. Let's buy some wine there. He wouldn't know. But when merchants come to buy sheep from Jacob, we want to buy 100 sheep from you. Oh, this sheep is about $500 one. Well, but your son sold us 100 for one sheep. Now, secret revealed. They don't know that Jacob knew what they were doing. And then when Joseph reported, Jacob may have confirmed those bad reports from Joseph. Joseph did not mind his safety. He told his brothers everything he knew. And when Jacob said, "You were selling my sheep. Who told you, Joseph?" Only Joseph knew. So they hated Joseph. They treated him harshly. And even when they sold Joseph, Jacob may have heard it from the merchants themselves that his brothers sold Joseph. That was why he just cannot, every time he saw his older sons, he just feels so sad, because whenever he saw his older sons, he remembers that they sold Joseph. Retaliation is not unusual. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth principle controls the sinful mind. Have you ever experienced discrimination at work? Oh, Filipinos, you are discriminated, but Filipinos can discriminate. Do you know that? Sino ba nag-umpisa dito ng mga word na PNA?
Paana? Sino nagsabi noon? Hindi sila, Filipino. Right? Have you, there was this director of nursing home. She accordingly was a Filipina. Accused of discrimination and a federal class action lawsuit was filed against her. Accordingly, she discriminated non-Filipino nurses and offers Filipino nurses better schedule as a retaliation because there was a complaint filed against her previously of unfair treatment. Yan po. Hindi po dito sa New Jersey daw. Hindi ko alam gaano katotoo, but I read that in the Inquirer. So if you go to our website, the Maples Evangelical Church website, maplesevangelical.org, you can click on the website where I took that story and you can read more. But if you want, say nursing home accused of discrimination, nursing home director accused of discrimination, search that and you will find that out. Unfairness is always experienced wherever we are situated, wherever we go. Starts from home, in school, at work. But if we are to testify about the Lord's wonderful work in our life, we are to imitate the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus testified in John 14:31, I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. It also described in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. When they hurled their insult at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. For sure, we need the Lord's empowerment for us to endure challenges. The Lord has endured his suffering on the cross. He never retaliated. Kaya kung kayo bibigyan ng hindi magandang schedule sa inyong trabaho, take it. It might be that God is preparing you to become a supervisor. Why? How can you supervise when the schedule that you know is only the schedule that you want to be in? Paano mo may susurprise yung panggabi? Hindi mo naman gustong magpanggabi. Something like that, right? How do you like to become an owner of a company when you do not like to even watch your employees working at, what do you call that? That shift that they don't like. A gravy shift, that grade shift, gravy shift. Grave shift. Ayan. If you are pushed to that, it might be that God is preparing you for something. The Lord Jesus has endured his suffering on the cross and never retaliated because he loved the Father and do exactly what his Father commanded him. And the things that we experience, the persecution we experience, God allows us. It is not far worse than what Jesus experienced on the cross. If you've been crucified and shed blood, you can say that parang nangyari na sa Panginoon. But if you haven't yet, then it's kasabihan sa street lingo sa Pilipinas, sisiw yan, okay. Walang isa kalingkingan, parang ganun. Joseph had experienced how to live a lifestyle like Christ. His brothers were cruel to him. He did not mind his safety. He did not retaliate. He just wanted to please his father, Jacob. He told the truth. Even he knew that maybe his brothers have warned, huwag kang magsumbong. Nagsumbong pa rin. Jacob was pleased, and Joseph became the favorite son of Jacob. It's possible that his brothers admitted to Jacob that they sold him at the time when they reported, bakit andun si Joseph sa Egypt? Siguro ibininta niyo, no? Siya nagsabi, si Judah, nagtuturoan. It's possible. And Jacob was convinced that what they told him, everything about Joseph, the troubles and the honors. And perhaps God also gave Jacob discernment, idea, and willingness to be satisfied, to be convinced. So that Jacob was convinced that his sons, this time they were not telling lies. this time they are telling the truth, and perhaps the Lord had filled his heart with joy and rejoicing too. So what lesson from our passage can we apply practically in our life? Impossible things that only God can do may possibly happen in our life when we live a Christ-like lifestyle to obey exactly His instruction for us. Do you have an idea in mind that you may assume as impossible to be done by your human effort, but the Lord has accomplished in your life? Mayroon na bang ginawa ang Panginoon sa inyo na hindi nyo nagawa sa pamamagitan ng kalakasan, karunungan, kaalaman? And you experience that, and you know that it's the Lord who work in your life. What have you desired? What have you wished that the Lord may accomplish in your life, but you assume it's impossible for you to assume? This is why I encourage you, if you pray, pray for something that you cannot in your own effort do. Like for example, kanalasan yung kabiruan doon sa Pilipinas. Oh, magpastor ka na lang, bakit? Eh, hindi ka naman marunong sa math, mag-engineer ka sana, pastor ka na lang, mas madali. Kind of like. But not many would like to become a pastor because it's tougher, right? More want to become engineer because it's easier than becoming pastor. What have you heard or sense that the Lord is telling you to do, but you resisted it because you assume that it is impossible for you to accomplish? God is calling you to do this and to do that, to be involved in this and be involved in that, to witness to your friend or to your neighbor or to your relatives. No, I can't do that. Wala akong training. Have you heard God calling you to join a full-time ministry? No, hindi ako pastor. Hindi ako mahilig magsuot ng blazer kagaya mo, pastor. Ayaw ko niyan. Mainit. Mainit ba? Eh, ibaba na lang yung temperature. Have you heard God prompting you to share your testimony to your relatives, friends, classmates, office mates, neighbors, or even your employer? Pray about that. Have you heard God calling you to follow Christ through water baptism or become a member of this church? This is another announcement I did not mention a while back. But if God is calling you to join water baptism, we will be having water baptism during our anniversary. Before water baptism, there is baptism class. So you may understand why you want to join baptism class. If your friend, your relatives, you may want to join the baptism class during the anniversary, please approach our leaders or approach me and tell me. Or tell others, pakisabi nga kay Pastor, gusto kong mabaptize. Pakisabi nga kay Brother Dave, gusto kong mabaptize. Pakisabi nga kay Sister Tina, kay Sister Ayan, Sister Heather, gusto kong mabaptize. If you cannot approach them personally, just inform them. Or you fathers, mothers, your children may have been thinking, oh, nabaptize ka na? Hindi pa po. Gusto mabaptize? Hindi ko alam kung anong ibig sabihin yan. Sige, tanungin mo si Kuya Dave mo, tanungin mo si Ate Ayan mo, tanungin mo si Ate Heather mo, si Ate Christina mo. Do you wish to see the impossible become possible in your life? Do you wish to see impossible become possible in your life? Do you wish to see the impossible become possible in your life? Say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Take care of my life and decision. Just say, yes, Lord. Then ask God, increase my faith, Lord. Give me firm decision that I may obey and cannot say no to you, Lord, that I won't hesitate. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Just ask. Shall we stand up? Let's stand up. Bow down our heads and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do?
I want to see the impossible be done possibly in my life. Just tell the Lord. Everybody, God has prepared good work for each of us. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is that good work you have prepared for me? Ask Him now. How would I start? I'm scared. Just tell Him, Lord, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm frightened. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to let the fruit of the Holy Spirit prevail in your life. Lord, let your love, let your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control prevail in my life, Lord. I want to experience more of you. Increase my faith, Lord. And ask the Lord to help you continue pray and ask for help. Lord, help me pray. Continue to pray. Remind me to pray that I need you.